you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This is not Jim Wood. It is his son, Clayton, and I am here guest hosting Abiding in Christ. Very grateful for the opportunity to do so, and I have a special guest in the studio with me today. As I said last week, this will be a time that we can tell some stories about Ware's Valley Ranch, explaining more of what the ranch is, what we do. Of course, you can read about us on our website, wvr.org, and you can send us messages for Abiding in Christ, and my dad will be excited to read those messages as well. But Jordan is joining me today, and I am delighted to have him here. Thanks for being here, Jordan.
I am immensely grateful to be here. So thankful. And I'm honored. I love your dad, and I love this program and the ministries that he's been a part of. So honored to be here.
Jordan is a humble guy, and he gets a little uncomfortable in some of these situations with me because we've been friends for most of our lives, actually. And Jordan represents several different things that I want to talk about. One of those things, and it really is God, it's his grace, it's his kindness, but also I feel excellent as a recruiter for staff because as the executive director of the ranch, very early on in my time at the ranch, I was talking with some other of our senior leaders, talking about a role where we needed help supervising all of our residential programs, supervising our counseling staff, supervising our house parents, supervising our mentors, supervising the entire residential program that cares for children from difficult home situations. And we said, man, the ideal person would be Jordan Branch. But Jordan Branch at the time was in a different state. He was in Colorado, and I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit more about that. But as Jordan was in Colorado, I called him and said, hey, we would love to have you pray about coming to the ranch. And when I called you, unbeknownst to me, that was maybe some good timing from the Lord that it would be something to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're going to talk more about this, but obviously the ranch is a very special place to me. I have history with the ranch that I'm so thankful for. So when I thought of different places that the Lord might have me, I always thought, will I go back to Ware's Valley Ranch at some point? But I also believe that the Lord called us to Denver to do church planting. It's been a huge part of my life and heart is to be on mission for the Lord. And so I was out there church planting, and then just before the pandemic, we merged with another church, and we went through the pandemic and just began to sense that the Lord had something else in store, praying about different things, but at the same time, we're also okay to continue to live in Colorado and do ministry there. So I didn't pursue anything, didn't knock on any doors. Then you called me in December, and I just remember going back inside, hey, Jessica, guess what I just did? Talking on the phone. And, yeah, so very grateful. And
well, there's a ranch role, and we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about your time at the ranch, but there's also something beautiful, and a lot of folks, even who know a good bit about the ranch, don't know that Ware's Valley Ranch also hosts within our chapel a church that is independent from the ranch, Covenant Community Church, and you're involved there, and it's been a beautiful thing. Covenant Community Church has had lots of great folks doing the Lord's work for many years before you got there. But I would say that you have an emphasis in your heart that is part of what made you a successful church planter in Colorado, that you've carried back with you here to East Tennessee to reach lost people and to connect with the community. You guys just had an outreach to the community in this last week. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, we did something called Serve the Smokies, and it was a week of time where we got to know our community. We went to local gas stations and washed people's windows for free and gave out ice cream. And then we had a three-day event called Art by the Park. We got to meet people from the community, particularly families at schools that were local, and as well as we went out. You know, we're not far. Wears Valley Ranch and the church, our campus is not far from Pigeon Forge, where millions of people visit every year from all over the country. So we went out to Pigeon Forge and just engaged people and in conversations about the gospel. And it was good. I was really encouraged to see our people just meeting people in the community, talking about the gospel. As a pastor, you know, John says in the letter, 3 John, says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. So as a pastor, to see our people seeking to share the good news, seeking to serve others, that makes me so happy because that's what I want to see. It's a visible representation of, I get it. I want the love of Jesus that I know to be given to others. So I was really encouraged.
Awesome. That's a great report. You know, there's so many gospel opportunities here in East Tennessee where we are. We want the ranch to be a beacon for Christ in our community. And it's an interesting challenge to balance all of those different duties. We want the ranch to be a beacon of light for our area. We also never want the students who live at the ranch to feel like they're on display in any way. So as we continue to develop various venues and opportunities for the ranch to be a blessing to the community, one of the greatest things that's already happening here is that we have a healthy church that loves others and serves others. The ranch was also, in terms of volunteers, blessed by some of the COVID migration that happened all across the United States. Mm. A lot of folks looked at places they could go, saw East Tennessee, and thought, hey, that's a great four-season place. There's no state income tax. I don't work for the state of Tennessee, but I could tell you that a lot of people viewed places that they could retire and decided that this would be ideal. And as they've gotten here, they've realized that God has called them to find ways to serve. And I know that the church has a lot of folks who are retired or semi-retired and who, instead of playing golf 6 days a week, are instead finding ways to serve kids. They're finding ways to serve others. They're finding ways to share the good news of the gospel with people who don't yet know Jesus. And what we see is that people find joy and meaning and purpose in being able to use the additional time that they have that's different from when they were in a professional life, going wherever they were told by their boss. And now they're listening to a different boss, and the Lord is calling them to opportunities to serve, and it's bringing them joy. Let's go way back in time to the 90s. It feels weird. We're both not old, we're middle-aged, but we are people who remember the 90s. For my kids, that sounds very old. Back in the 19s, you were a student down in Atlanta, but you became a student at Wears Valley Ranch.
Yes, so I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I was homeschooled, and I was attending Mount Vernon Baptist Church, where your dad was the pastor before he came up and started the children's home. And I knew about the ranch. There was actually some interaction that my family had with the ranch. But I never thought that I would be a student at the ranch. But circumstances changed. Things in my family looked different. There was, some suffering that was taking place, some substance abuse that was involved. My parents' marriage went through a real rocky season. And your dad knew all about that situation because he was helping give counsel. And so he offered for me to come live at Ware's Valley Ranch and be a student here and complete that time. And I still have in a document that I wrote at that time, not very well, but it listed or it explained like how I didn't think I would really be considered a student that would need to be at Ware's Valley Ranch. But the more I understand my situation, actually, yes, I do need a place like Ware's Valley Ranch. And I didn't realize just how much I needed a place like Ware's Valley Ranch. Now I can keep going here. But it was a big deal. Like I was later in high school, actually really just had 1 year left. So it was my senior year. And, but I didn't have a lot of prospects of what the future would look like. From my perspective, I had for pretty much my whole life struggled with insecurity, especially related to academics. If I was ever in a room and somebody asked, can I have a volunteer to write on the whiteboard? I would never go anywhere near that. I was in the same classes as, like we would do some homeschool co-ops. I was in the same classes as my younger sisters. And that wasn't just because, well, everybody was taking the same class together. No, it was because I needed that class. In fact, one of the classes that I was in with two of my younger sisters, I got the most improved student award. I was so far behind. The mentality that I had was, you know, academics is not your thing. That's okay. So think about a trade school. I was working as a bicycle mechanic at a bicycle shop in high school. It was really kind of my love at that time. And so I thought, well, I like mechanics. I'll work at I'll go to school to be a mechanic, and then I'll kind of work in mechanics. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. People are gifted in that way. People are led toward that way. It's wonderful. But that's also just how I understood what I could accomplish academics, because I just, again, was so far behind. And there was embarrassing times because I was also, when I was younger, I was held back a grade. So I was already older, but seen as, you know, somebody who, I just always have known that since my kindergarten year when I was held back a grade. It was like something's not academically right with Jordan. He can't achieve like other people do. And that was pretty much my identity for so much of school. Your dad was like, hey, come here. You could finish all the classes that you would need here. I think we can do it in a year. And then you could get hopefully in-state tuition. Maybe you could go to the University of Tennessee. We could help you. So I was like, oh, praise the Lord, there's a plan. And so I came to the ranch. One of the things that I experienced, which is the same thing that other kids experience, and now I can say this to kids when they come here, is all the kids here take a aptitude or achievement test that isn't so much your score of knowledge as much as it is a way of evaluating capability, way of evaluating what they could do. And actually, your mom was the one who orchestrated or ran the test for me. And I think at one point she talked about saying that she was surprised and felt like I was a lot smarter than what others had perceived me as being. And honestly, it's not that other people didn't care about me or love me, but I never heard that language about me. I never heard people saying, oh, he's really smart. He could really do well. And that was just the beginning of something that ultimately was a massive change in terms of changing how I perceived I could do, what I could achieve. And so the ranch for me, although school is not necessarily everything that the ranch does. It's an important part. So many kids come here because they need to be in a healthy place that's not abusive, that's not traumatic. And I certainly had some of that going on. School for me was so pivotal because it changed how I viewed myself and it changed what I felt that I could do. So it was humbling, but I completed classes here and I went on to college and I did well. I prayed by God's grace. I did well. I made Dean's List, got married in college, decided I wanted to go ahead and pursue my master's. So did a master's degree and graduated magna cum laude by God's grace. And then it was 5 years after that, my wife and I prayed about whether I should pursue doing a doctorate degree in counseling, and wound up doing a doctorate degree. It took quite a while because I was doing part of it during the church plant when we were in Colorado. But I really do credit that success because of what the ranch instilled in me. I'm not taking away from anything that my parents did and others did to help me foundationally with some reading and writing. But where I was so different. In high school, middle school, high school, I didn't read. I didn't write much at all. Again, part of this was where my family was and what was kind of lacking, but I just didn't do much of that. I didn't have a desire for it. But coming here, again, with your mom testing me, with a sense of mission and people around me, the other staff encouraging me, I began to just began to read more. I don't know how to explain it. I think ultimately I would explain it because it's God's work.
Yeah.
Like it was a miraculous sense of he changed me, and I just began to devour books. I've, of course, reading my Bible a lot, and then reading C.S. Lewis, reading Josh McDowell. I remember coming for a break, coming home and being in the basement reading, and one of my sisters was like, all you do is read now. And, you know, there's a sense of like, I just wanted to learn. There was this newfound like joy and excitement in the fact that Lord wanted to do something in me and through me that I had never perceived before, that I believe the germ of that, the generation of where that came from was at Ware's Valley Ranch.
Praise God. Praise God. So, and Jordan, guys, if you all don't know him like I do, him telling you he graduated magna cum laude was challenging for him. But thank you for sharing that. I ask you to share academic credentials. Jordan is very smart, and that was apparent in terms of areas that could help him succeed academically. But he also had the humility to go back to where he needed to start for various subjects. And it didn't matter his age. It just mattered what he needed to understand and learn to develop the next level of understanding across various subjects. And the beautiful thing about Jordan's story is that it is the story of so many students at Ware's Valley Ranch. And what I mean by that is there are so many students who come to the ranch and have gaps in knowledge. And they have decided, well, I guess I'll just never know math. I just can't know it. I can't do it. Or I'm just not a reader. I don't like books. I'm just not a guy who reads. And when they get tested and when they understand, hey, you're really good at X, Y, and Z. Now, not everybody is going to, in fact, very few people are going to have the ability to do what Jordan's done academically, but everyone is gifted by God in some area. And all of the students at the ranch learn that they have an area of giftedness above other areas in their life. And those abilities can be brought to God's glory and used by him to accomplish great things. And so we don't say, this kid's in third grade. We never punish a kid or ostracize a kid or make a kid feel shame for where they are. We simply create an environment where they have an individualized learning plan and they're able to move at the pace that they can move in and succeed and know that they're making progress. And so, Jordan, it's wonderful to have you introducing the ranch to students and being able to talk about the ranch's impact on your life.
I do it so I do it frequently. Every interview that I have with a student, every story of a student here is different. Everybody, you know, comes at different times. We had a student graduate this past spring who had been here for 7 years. We had a student that was here for just 1 year, similar to my story. And you could see just the impact that the ranch made for the student who was here for a year. And yes, the student that was here for 7 years, I share with students frequently when I'm talking with them, hey, I know what it looks like to kind of be on this other side. When I come to this place, what will it look like? And be able to share with them just how much this is a really good place. It's full of people who love you. They're not perfect people. There's only one perfect person. It's Jesus Christ. But they love students. They love kids from your place, and they want to help you. And then, of course, I just share my own testimony of how much this, again, the ranch has impacted my life and changed my life. I don't believe, I don't know what to say other than just, I don't know where I'd be. I believe that God would be with me and he would have cared for me. And, but I'm so thankful for the ranch. I can't tell you just how much the ranch changed how I live my life and why I went to college and I met my wife and how I'm raising my kids and everything. I love my natural family and my parents, and I give them so much credit as well. But in terms of just life planning and goals and what's next, I felt like the ranch helped me really become an adult in some ways and gave me confidence in such an important area that for so long in my life had basically been, you failed here and you're going to need to kind of, you know, act your level of intelligence and smarts. And the ranch said, well, yeah, you should, because you are this smart, you are this intelligent. And so it really did change the paradigm for me. And that happens over and over again with students here. We had a student recently that just, if you asked him to speak in front of a group of people, because kids here will quote scripture in chapel, he would just break down. I couldn't do it. And it took months. But just this past month, we have a level system here at the ranch, and there's only four levels, and this student just got level three. That's a representation of he is no longer just a student here. He's growing as a leader, mm-hmm. And he gets up in front of people now with confidence and quotes scripture or talks to others, and just another picture of kind of the same way in which, you know, people who are coming from suffering and struggles, like there's so much will that goes with it. But when you create an environment where there's safety, where there's love, where there's affirmation, it's all the straight A's that I know your dad's talked about on this program. But when you bring that environment, it really does bring change. I mean, I tell guardians, tell others, like there's not magic. There's gospel power. And so if you want to see kind of the place where that power is most manifested, it's in the family. It's in this creation of this surrogate family of love and safety where kids blossom and healing takes place. And it's hard work, but it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for listening. And we would love to have you send us an email, send us a prayer request. We love to hear from you. We love to pray for you. WVR.org is our website, Abiding in Christ. Links there for you to contact us. We will continue to have stories coming from the ranch periodically this month and hope that they're a blessing to you as we share what God is doing in his power and strength here in Ware's Valley, Tennessee. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.